magic.
McLuhan is practically a household word in this television conscious society. He's from the University of Toronto, of course. The author of a book called The Medium is the Message. And he came to New York last night so that he could watch the debates. Watch them not so much from a policy point of view, but from a television point of view. First of all, Professor McLuhan, how did you watch the debates? On a number of television sets?
Yes, I saw it on black and white and two different kinds of color. The CBS color and NBC color. They seemed to be quite different on the set I was watching.
Well, it might have been the set.
On the other hand, the glorious moment was the rebellion of the medium against the bloody message. The medium finally rebelled against the most stupid arrangement of any debate in the history of debating.
Why was it stupid? Not from a
scripting point of view. Mm-hmm. The characters who had arranged that debate and scripted every aspect of it had no understanding of TV. And they didn't even know that TV is not a debating medium. Mm-hmm. And they had arranged it as if it were a newspaper setup or a radio setup. They had no awareness of TV. With the breakdown in the technology, the audience finally got into the act.
Well, if this debate had been arranged by people who, in your view, knew and understood television, how would it have been done?
Well, now, this would take quite a while to explain, but it would be much closer to what we're doing right here, chatting casually, spontaneously, without a script, and paying attention to what is being said. What those men said last night was merely to hold the audience on the image. It didn't matter at all what was said last night. Had either candidate dared to present a policy, it would have destroyed his image.
Was one more cool than the other from a purely
television
point of view?
No, they're both in a state of panic cool. They were terrified of making a false step.
Shouldn't they have all of these conditions on television debate when they're running for the highest office and they want to control the environment?
With the breakdown in the mechanism, there was the wonderful revelation of all the characters who had scripted the show. They came out into the open like something out of the woodwork and revealed that a stupid show had been put together very carefully. And by people who had no idea what the TV medium is about.
Would you argue, Professor McLuhan, that the candidates would be better off not to debate than to debate in the manner in which they did?
Of course.
The candidates?
They were standing in press-the-pants barrels, looking absolutely like some straight-jacketed characters, and absolutely the hottest type of medium you could imagine. Everything that the scripters and arrangers had done was hot stuff. They had no idea of what the TV medium is made of.
Well, perhaps they preferred it that way because there was less risk, however, from a political point of view.
It's not the candidates who had anything to do with this, obviously. This was the experts.
The candidates did have a great deal to do with it because all the arrangements were made after having been cleared and
by their experts.
Or by the candidates themselves as well. They were in on it, too.
I think they couldn't have known that little about what they were doing. But I never saw a more atrocious misuse of the TV medium. When it broke down, it was the thing rebelling against misuse.
You mean you preferred the interviews in the lobby with Rosalind Carter?
The interval was audience participation and was real television. But what went on in the debates was not television at all.
Now, last night, after all of this happened, the word amplifier was being passed around. What went wrong? It was an amplifier. What went wrong? Well, I hear it was an amplifier. Now, are you suggesting that the amplifier took on certain human qualities and rebelled?
The vibrations got through to the amplifier and said, this must not continue. An abominable show arranged by a lot of hot experts.
The abominable showman.
Yeah, the abominable showman took over and blew the amplifier.
Hear that? The guy says, you're saying the amplifier became human. Android mean there.
This really did get through. The medium was the message.
The experts are doing the bidding of their employers.
Uh-huh.
And our employers are President Ford and Governor Carter.
You might as well tell me that was true of Nixon, who had lots of experts working on his image and they didn't know what they were doing.
But they were less conscious of television then than they are now and what it can do to you.
I wonder. They hadn't a clue as to what the medium was made of.
Well, would it be possible that what is going on here is essentially a defensive operation by both men? As Tom was saying, both of them intent on not making any mistakes, and being plunged into this debate because they can't avoid it. They do everything they can to minimize any risk. They do everything they can to hold the position.
When I was listening to those statistics, I was thinking of the drunk who clung to the lamppost more for support than for illumination. There was no illumination coming out of those statistics, but there was a lot of drunken clutching at lampposts. This was an incredible show of incompetence and misuse of that medium.
I was struck by the pinning down by Elizabeth Drew of The New Yorker of the two candidates on their plans for tax reform, balanced budgets, and for social programs.
Why did Ms. Drew and Gannon and Reynolds look so much more impressive than the candidates? This is another medium trick. All those three sounded most authoritative and emphatic, and they knew what they were talking about. The candidates...
Because it's always easier to ask a question than it is to answer.
No, but the way they delivered themselves was authoritative, emphatic, like a good advertisement. Whereas the candidates were groping around in the fog.
Is it possible that there is so much at stake for the candidates in an event of this kind that they cannot be at ease? That they cannot be, as you would say, authoritative?
If they were allowed to chat with each other, they would soon be at ease. But to stand up in press-the-pants barrels and with all sorts of equipment around them and pretend they're having a debate or a dialogue is nonsense.
Mike, you're opposed to the 90-minute format as well, that you think that's too short a time.
Well, no television audience can keep its attention more than 4 or 5 minutes.
You think the presidential debates ought to consist of two men sitting there for 4 or 5 minutes chatting?
No, if they were chatting, you might be able to hold attention a little longer. Mm-hmm. But the TV attention span is very short.
Well, what do we have then? A series of 15-minute conversations, one a day?
That sounds reasonable in many ways, but there are other factors. There are other factors. But you're assuming that what these people say is important. All that matters is that they hold that audience on their image, but no matter what they say.
What image do you think Ford gave out, and what image do you think Carter gave out?
Ford, incidentally, sounds better when you turn off the image and listen to him as if radio. He's better than Carter. He's a lawyer. Carter doesn't sound as good as Ford with just the soundtrack. Carter looks much better on color than on black and white. And that is very significant. Ford looks very much better on black and white than on color. And this has a lot to do with the constitution structure of those images. Carter is, after all, a corporate man. He comes from a corporate culture. Ford comes from an individualist, fragmented culture, a northern culture. There's a huge gap between those images.
Carter would probably disagree with you about the corporate structure.
I'm talking about the South as a corporate territory.
Uh-huh.
As his accent is corporate, not private.
What about the impact of his accent on a country as diverse as this one is, with its many regionalisms?
Well, obviously, it would appeal enormously more to the young generation than to the older one,
mm-hmm.
because jazz and rock come up out of that country, mm-hmm. the South.
When you speak of a corporate area, you're talking of an area that has a degree of cohesion that the other
and
area
shares a
not.
Common accent, mm-hmm. a socially shared accent, or speech rhythm. Which is very potent and very, very cohesive and corporate. It's not a private voice. Ford uses a private voice.
As you analyze these two candidates, Professor McLuhan, do you think that, given what you've been talking about, one of them has an advantage?
Carter has a huge TV advantage if he can keep his foot out of his mouth. But just as an image, he has a huge TV advantage. No comparison. But it depends on his keeping out of the press. He'd be do very well to hide for the next 6 months, sort of thing.
Professor McLuhan, you think that this medium is the future, that this is how society will be shaping its opinions and so on.
Is the present.
Is the present and the future.
Which is also the future.
But why do you continue to print books and write books?
This is an outlet, and you might as well ask, why does somebody continue to make chewing gum? And it's an outlet for various activities. But I've never been against the book, for heaven's sake. I'm a professor of literature. I teach books from morning till night.
Professor McLuhan, the University of Toronto, the author of a book called The Medium is the Message, and proponent of a number of theories about television and its impact discussing the debate last night from that point of view. Thank you very much for being here.